Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our readings for this evening, we hear of the mighty hand of the Lord once again. This mighty hand, we see now, has come to defeat Satan and free his people from his grasp. By the might of their own hands, however, we must acknowledge no one else has this kind of power. Yet earlier in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 9, we read about an exasperated father who came up to Jesus pleading on behalf of his demon-possessed son. The demon had taken hold of the man's son. It had convulsed him and would not leave him, no matter what effort by the father or doctors or physicians was given. Jesus' own disciples had no power to do anything. Seeing Jesus, the demon threw down the boy violently at the ground, as if to show his power. But all Jesus needed was his word of rebuke to make the demon leave the boy. With but a word, Jesus healed him, lifted him up, and handed him back to his father's loving hand. The disciples, by their own hands, were no match for this demon. As Jesus told them in Matthew's telling of this same healing, their hands are best suited for taking the form of prayer. Later, Jesus would send out 72 of his disciples with the authority to cast out demons. When they returned, they marveled before the Lord at what had been accomplished through them. But Jesus still wanted to remind them not to lose sight of what is most important, namely that their names are written in the book of life. Taking their eyes off God's work always opens the door for pride. As we read in the Proverbs 16, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The devil's power, in other words, is not to be trifled with. Their casting out of demons comes only by the mighty hand of their Lord God. And so, when we come to this evening's text, and when we see Jesus coming doing what no ordinary man could do, well, you would think that it would have been welcomed and rejoiced over by all the people. But as we read, the opposite proved to be the case. Far from rejoicing, they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the name of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. I want you to think for a moment just how ludicrous that would be. To say that Satan would ever cast out his own demonic forces, subverting his own will. As a principle, Jesus reminds us, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And yet, the religious leaders were so threatened by Jesus' power and authority, they were so deceived by Satan's power, that they couldn't see liberation from his captivity even when it was happening right before their very eyes. Sadly, dear friends, the reality of Satan's power is in his great deception to hold people captive. And we've seen this ever since the Old Testament reading from mankind's fall into sin in Genesis chapter 3. Here we heard how Adam and Eve listened to the crafty voice of the serpent instead of the voice of their Lord God. And as a result of their sinful transgression, we have suffered the consequences of wanting to be our own gods to this day. To have it our way, to take everything into our own hands, we celebrate this idea. But this is not power. It is to put ourselves under the tempter's power and thereby receive the tempter's fate. That is eternal condemnation. God did not create hell for human beings, but for Satan and his fallen angels. If God truly and only let us have it our way and let us take everything into our own hands, well, we would find ourselves eternally held captive by the powers of sin, death, and the devil. We cannot break this captivity by any power of our own. Loath as we are to admit it, left to ourselves, we will always come up short. And so we are trapped. Jesus continues by saying that Satan is like a strong man. No one around can match his strength. And by his might, he keeps desperate hold over all that he possesses. We can never escape by our might. No mere human being is strong enough to bind the strong man. The devil's house and kingdom are terrifyingly too much for us. That is, until they come up against the finger of God. Now, the finger of God in the Old Testament is used as a way of describing first God's work of creation. It also then describes how he inscribed his commandments on tablets of stone for Moses and for his people Israel. In other words, the finger of God is his word. By his word, God created everything. By his word, he gave the law to Moses. Jesus himself, as we read in St. John's account of the gospel, is the very word of God, now given flesh and blood. And at Jesus' word, what happens? The demons shudder and flee. Jesus is the very finger of God. Now hold on a second. Why the finger? Why not the hand, as we have been hearing so far throughout this Lenten series? Because, friends, all it takes is the finger of God for the entirety of Satan's kingdom of tyranny to come crashing down like a house of cards. For unlike our grandparents, Adam and Eve, Jesus did not succumb to the devil's temptation when he spent his 40 days in the wilderness. He has overpowered the strong man, and now he comes in glory and victory to plunder his house. Jesus has gained the upper hand on Satan in order to rescue us from his tyranny. That is just what God did in Christ his Son when he came casting out demons. The devil is no match for the Son of God. He has done it all by the power that allows him to hold all things in subjection to himself, yes, even those things that are so terrifying to us and so beyond our power. By going to the cross, Christ Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil for you. In Christ, you are forgiven and have been given the gift of eternal life. Therefore, the devil's power and hold on you has been broken. His accusations no longer hold any weight. Christ has fulfilled the promise that we heard God speak to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15. He has crushed the serpent's head underfoot. Jesus has pried you from Satan's grasp, his grip of despair, and he has placed you securely in God's mighty hand. You have the one who is stronger than the strong man. Therefore, hear his word of life and cast all your anxieties on him. He will protect you, and no one can snatch you away from his hand. St. Peter wrote in his first epistle, "Indeed, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Getting too close is dangerous, make no mistake, and make no room for his temptations. But know, without a shadow of a doubt, that old evil foe is bound. His time is short. He has been defeated. Though he roars threats of every kind, the devil cannot harm you, because it is the Lord God who now holds you." As Martin Luther wrote in that beloved hymn, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, but he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Just the finger of God knocks him down. Let his word of power give you confidence this day to cast all your fears, all your anxieties upon him. For by the finger of God, Jesus has defeated the strong man and plundered his goods in order to rescue us and holds us now safely in his hand. In his most mighty name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.